The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Oh, thank you. You may be seated. Mark chapter 14 is where you turn in the Bible. Oh, wait a minute. We're going to teach a song. That's right. We'll get to Mark chapter 14 in a moment. Let's see if you got your music. Let's see if you got your music. Our ushers were giving out these songs beforehand. Let's see if you can find this song, Speak to Us, We Pray. Well, good evening, everybody. Wow. So it's a little hot in here. Okay. We wanted a red hot service, didn't we?
Yeah.
We're trying to have one. Oh, it feels good inside here compared to outside. We did go out soul winning this afternoon, and we saw someone saved by the grace of God. We watched God save someone. It's wonderful. There's nothing like just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to see everyone tonight, all these young folks and folks that aren't as young as they used to be and all that. And man, there's kissing stuff going on. Wow. 3, 2, 1. I want to get home now, man. See my wife. And I'll get to fly home, God willing, tomorrow. My wife Renee and I have been married for 34 years. And we thank the Lord for that. And we've got 2 grown children. Praise God. And being empty nest is not all that bad. I told preacher this afternoon, being empty nest, not all that bad. It is a little bit cheaper, you know. Praise God. Let me sing this song to you. Everybody look at the music. Hold your music up. Let's see if everyone's got one now. Let's listen to this song. Brother Travis, everybody just listen. Ready?
God of power, in this hour, speak to us, we pray. Lord eternal and immortal, guide our path each day. You are the Creator, the Redeemer, and the King. Honor, praise, and glory, Lord, to you we will bring. God of power, in this hour, speak to us, O Lord, we pray.
Sing it with me, would you?
God of power, in this hour, speak to us, we pray. Lord eternal and immortal, guide our path each day. You are the Creator, the Redeemer, and the King. Honor, praise, and glory, Lord, to you we will bring. God of power, in this hour, speak to us, O Lord, we pray.
This is a new hymn. It's about 15 months old, something like that, 16 months old. It's a hymn. It's designed for God's people to sing. And now music moves 3 directions. Sometimes the song is speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians. Sometimes we're teaching one another. The Bible says teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. But this song is not primarily inward or outward. This song is primarily upward. To whom are we singing? Oh, we're singing to God. And this song makes a statement. The first little phrase, God of power. Now, does God have any power?
Yes.
He has all power. There's not anything God wants to do that God cannot do. God of power, in this hour, we're in the 7 o'clock, no, the 6 o'clock hour. I'll get on the right time zone here in a moment. We're on a 6 o'clock hour here. And we want God to work in this hour, do we not?
Amen.
We're thankful for all that God has done for us, what God did for us this morning. Hallelujah. This afternoon, glory. But now I want God to work in my life tonight, and I need God to work in my life in this hour, don't you? So we're asking in this song, it's a prayer, God of power, in this hour, speak to us. Now, do you want God to speak to you? I do. I'll put my hand up. I would like God to speak to me. How does God primarily speak to people? Right from this book right here, the Bible. This song was designed, it was written to be sung just before the preacher preaches, that a congregation would sing, God of power in this hour, speak to us, we pray. We want God to speak to us tonight. Everybody stand. We're going to sing first and last verse. Let's do our best. Ready?
God of power in this hour, speak to us, we pray. Lord eternal and immortal, guide our path each day. You are the Creator, the Redeemer, and the King. Honor, praise, and glory, Lord, to you we will bring. God of power, in this hour, speak to us, O Lord, we pray. God of power, in this hour, holy is your name. Yesterday, today, forever, you are still the same. You will rule in justice when you come to claim your own. Then we'll live forever in your heavenly home. Amen. God. Wonderful. Speak to us, O Lord, we pray.
Dear Lord, that is our prayer request, that now as we open your word, that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Mark chapter 14, you may keep those copies. Anyone has permission to make copies of that song. We've just given that song away to anyone who wants to make copies and sing it. Well, Pastor, thank you with all of my heart. Mark 14 is where we're turning. Pastor, thank you for letting me come. I've enjoyed myself. Praise the Lord. I love Parkside Baptist Church. This is a wonderful church. And the Lord's leading us perfectly. I love following the Lord's leading. Praise God. And all these musicians, Brother Palmore, you're doing a wonderful job. Praise God for him. I love him and appreciate him. And I appreciate all these musicians, the folks playing on the instruments, the orchestra, the young people singing, the junior choir, the primary choir. I love all these choirs. May God just bless them. And then the staff, a remarkable staff, and I appreciate them. And they've done so much to help me, and I want to say thank you. We have some music CDs. We've got some folks that will help you after the service. Just before you go to Dodgeball, get some CDs, would you? Dodgeball. This series, Bible Songs for Kids. If you have children, if you have grandchildren, children in the neighborhood, get some of these. This is scripture set to music. I know the words of these songs are right and helpful and will benefit. And get these. They're out there, 3 for $20. And the newest CD out there is called Mountain Jubilee. There's no singing on that, but just guitar playing and banjo playing. Not tastefully done. It's not bluegrass music. It's gospel music, but it is played on those bluegrass kind of instruments. But get some of these for your home, would you please? Now, you ready for the Bible? Yeah. Amen to that. You've got a little energy left, don't you? Yeah. Good. Mark chapter 14. The title of the message tonight is Our Singing Savior. He is my Savior. I hope He's your Savior. He's our singing Savior. We find our Savior singing in this passage in the Bible. Mark chapter 14, verse 26. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's read that together, may we? Ready? Begin.
And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. This is Jesus Christ with his disciples, and they're observing the Passover ceremony. And at the conclusion of the Passover ceremony, our Savior is going to teach the disciples a new ceremony. It's going to be a new teaching tool, a new object lesson. It's going to be the Lord's Supper. We're Baptist, and we have two ordinances that we practice. This afternoon, we had some folks baptized. And praise the Lord for that. After you get saved, you need to be baptized. That's one of the ordinances of the church. And another ordinance that we practice, we follow because the Lord ordained it, is the Lord's Supper. And the Lord himself instituted it. And later on, after this passage, the Lord Jesus is going to go to the cross. He's going to give his life. He's going to lay down his life for us. He's going to be buried. But friends, he did not stay in the grave. He rose again. And then later on, he ascended into heaven. And the Holy Spirit now indwells us believers. And I'm glad for that. But we want to look a little while tonight at this one verse, verse 26. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I wonder what kind of voice Jesus had. I said, Brother Fox, tell us exactly what kind of voice Jesus had. Was he a baritone? Was he a tenor? Was he a bass? You know, I don't know exactly the voice range that Jesus had. I don't know the exact timbre of voice. T-I-M-B-R-E. It looks like it's timber, but it's pronounced timbre. What exact timbre of voice did Jesus have? What exact tone color of voice did Jesus have? Well, I don't know that either. You know, everyone has their own unique timbre. My wife, Renee, a church in North Carolina, bought my wife and I these phones. Don't you like these phones these days? Wow. You can take pictures with them. You can take videos with them. You can search the web. You can tweet on Twitter. You can Facebook. You can even make a phone call on these things. You know, it's amazing. Sometime back, my wife called me. My wife, Renee, called. And she said, hello. And I said, oh, excuse me, ma'am, I must have called the wrong number. I said, that doesn't sound like my wife. Or is this a gentleman I'm talking to? You shouldn't say that kind of stuff. My wife was so sick, she had almost lost her voice. Was why her voice was way down there. Hello. You should not pick on your wife when she's sick. Oh, excuse me, sir. Don't do that. Don't do that. But you know something? Even though her voice was different because of her sickness, I could still hear it was my sweet wife. I could still recognize that timbre of voice. It was my Renee. Hallelujah. Well, everybody's got their own timbre. What exact timbre of voice did Jesus have? I can't tell you that. I can't tell you his voice range. Can't tell you the exact tone color. But I can tell you a few things. Number one, I can tell you that Jesus Christ is perfect. Amen. Amen. Jesus is impeccable. There's no flaw. There's no blemish. There's no error. There's no mistake. And that includes his music. When Jesus sings, the music's perfect. Have you sung perfectly? Did you sing perfectly tonight? Did you find the exact right page and start singing? Have you ever started singing the wrong song? You know, he called one number and you thought it was another number and you began singing the wrong song. Or you began singing the wrong verse. I've done all these things, I'm telling you. Hold out too long and you're doing a solo. You know, I've done it on songs I've written, you know. Made all these mistakes. Sung wrong notes. You know, when you sing a wrong note, just look at the guy beside you. What are you doing? Act like they've made the mistake. Yeah. We've made all those mistakes, haven't we? But not Jesus. Everything Jesus does is perfect. That includes his music. Everything Jesus does. Now, you know, we sing songs. We sing songs like this one. I surrender all. I surrender all. Now,
Should we mean that song? Oh, yes, we should mean that. We should mean it. I surrender all, Lord. Okay. Has there ever been any hypocrisy in us when we sung it? Yes, we're failures in this room. We're sinners. We need the Lord. We need His mercy. We need His grace. We need His help. We need His aid. Amen to that. But when Jesus sings, I surrender all, He can sing it perfectly. See, everything Jesus sings is perfect. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. You see, Jesus does it all right. The song, I am resolved no longer to linger. We ought to mean that song of resolution too. Take my life and let it be. Christ can sing all of these songs, and the songs are perfect because Jesus is perfect. Amen to that. Let's think just a few minutes about this passage. I'll give you a little outline. Number one, the first thing is our Savior sings with His group. In this passage, we find our Savior singing with His group. He's singing with His group of disciples. He's singing along with His group of disciples. It says in verse 26, and when they, that pronoun they, it's Christ and His group of disciples. If you'll study the Bible and read from beginning to end and just mark all the passages in the Bible about music, you'll find that most of them are about group music. I loved hearing Brother Jonathan sing that song tonight. Wow! That was fantastic. Whoo! Not many people can sing like that. And that song, how wonderful. But in the Bible, the soloist is hardly ever mentioned. It's generally the group that's mentioned. It's a choir that's singing, or it's all of God's people. For example, let me give you a few verses. If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
Psalm 66, verse 4. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. It says all the earth. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. It's an invitation for all of God's saints to sing. Psalm 96, verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalm 98, verse 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. It's God's will for everyone to get saved. Amen. And then it's God's will for everybody to sing to Him. God wants me and you to sing to Him. Now, I like the soloist. I like the offertories. I like the prelude music, that music before the service. I like the postlude music, that music after. I like all the music. My favorite music, though, is when all of God's people sing together. When everybody gets that songbook up and everybody lifts their voice as one and sings to and for and about our great God. Amen to that. Do not let the devil rob you of the joy of singing with your church family. You say, well, Brother Fox, you don't understand. I don't have a good voice. Let me tell you a little story. We saw a man at our church get saved. And, wow, he's from a pretty rough family, mafia kind of family. And he came to church, and I remember the first time I was leading singing with Terry in the service. He's down here on the second row, and we've got the choir in place, and we got the organ and the piano, and we got the orchestra and all that. And down here, I said, Terry, I meant to say Jerry. His name is Jerry with a J. Jerry's down here. On the second row, his first service, he's in a suit, man. He's been born again, and he's put a suit on to come to church. Woo! And he's got a visitor with him. Our opening song that morning was to be number 15 in our hymnal, Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. I don't know if you know that song, Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Oh, our church loves to sing that one. We like to start a Sunday morning service with that one. Down here's Jerry, brand new convert. He's got his friend with him. I said, everyone get your songbook, number 15. And man, Jerry grabbed a book. I said, let's all stand. We're going to sing, Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. You know how these song leaders do all that stuff. We all stood up. And Jerry, for the first time, grabbed a hymnal and he is going to sing. Well, I dropped that downbeat to start. Brethren, we have... As I did that, Jerry began to sing. And he began to sing at the top of his lungs. He had one note. And it was a very, very bad note. And it was so shocking. Brother, it was so shocking. I'm up here trying to lead a singing, brethren. And I was not prepared for that. When that happened, suddenly, I didn't know how the song went either. You know what I'm saying? A few hundred of us that day, he sidetracked all of us, you know. We had to kind of regroup, get it started again, you know. Hey, what was Jerry doing? He was singing with his group. He is singing with the group of Christians that assembled in God's house that day. Hallelujah. By the way, Jerry ended up answering the call to preach, went off to Bible college. Jerry's in heaven now. He got cancer and he's in heaven now. But I'll tell you what, it's meaningful to me to see how he lived. And whoo, I liked how he sang with gusto. We had to learn him a few of those songs, you know what I'm saying? How they went and the timing. He didn't know the timing at all, but boy, he was happy to be saved. Now look, if you're saved, when it's time for congregational singing, just go ahead and get that book and just go ahead and make a little joyful noise. Listen, every grandchild who has a granddad in this room ought to see his granddad singing. That ought to. Every granddad ought to be a saved granddad. And the grandchildren need to see granddad and grandmama. Go ahead and sing. Doesn't matter if you have a great voice or not. Just go ahead and put your voice into it. I mean, compared to God, none of us have a good voice. None of us. I mean, I sing in the cracks, all that stuff too. Oh, but God wants us to sing to Him. The Bible says this, sing to the Lord. That's not optional. That's a command. And we find Jesus, our singing Savior, our perfect model. He's singing with His group. So you and I, let's go ahead and sing with our group. Psalm 149 verse 1 says this, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. Wonderful. Number one, our Savior is singing with His group of disciples. Number two, our Savior is singing with sorrow approaching. Our Savior is singing with sorrow approaching. It says in verse 26, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. This is just hours. Folks, this is just hours leading up to the most agonizing, I mean the most agonizing, the most intense, the most torturous, the more stressful, the most dreaded, the most arduous, the most adroit, you name the modifier. I mean, the most intense experience ever to take place on this earth. What was it? He who knew no sin became sin for us. Our Savior is going to the cross. The most extreme punishment allowed by Roman law was death by crucifixion. Can you imagine being spit upon? A few years ago, a baseball player here in America in the major leagues did not like a call and he turned around and spit on the umpire. And it made national news. Our country couldn't believe that a little baseball player would have the audacity to spit upon an umpire. When I saw that on the news, I thought about my Savior. I wouldn't want anyone to spit on me. You wouldn't want anyone to spit on you. But our Savior, He took that. The cross of Jesus Christ spells L-O-V-E, love. The love of Christ constraineth us, the Bible says. Oh, yes. Some people would say, now, Brother Fox, some scoffer, some cynic, someone who does not love the Lord, lost people might perhaps say, Brother Fox, that's a strange circumstance for your Savior to be singing in. That's an odd time for him to be singing. Does your Savior, Brother Fox, does your Savior not understand how bad the cross is going to be? You see, the world does not understand. The world does not comprehend. They don't understand. You see, the world's music. Hey, let's think about it a minute. The world's music. In the world's music, if the truck is running good and if the dog knows his tricks and if the watch is keeping good time, well, then the world's music is happy and it's joyful. Yeah, it's upbeat. Yeah. But if the truck breaks down and the dog dies and the watch breaks, well, then all the world's music's demoralized and down in the valley and blue. Yeah. But a Christian's not that way. No, a Christian's not that way. See, Christians, we sing victory in Jesus when we're up on top of the mountain. And then when we're down in the valley, we're still singing victory in Jesus. Because our song, our music is not based upon our circumstances. Hallelujah. Our music, our song is based upon faith in God. Yes. So yes, we can sing. Even when we're in the valley, even when we get the bad report from the doctor, we can still sing. Paul and Silas later on, they're going to go out preaching the gospel. With the exception of one, every message in the book of Acts is just a direct gospel message. They're out there preaching the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They went to one town, cast a demon out of a girl. Everybody ought to be pretty happy about that. But the town wasn't so happy about that. They were making merchandise of that girl, making money off that girl. And so they beat the preachers. They beat these two gospel preachers. Paul and Silas were beaten. Then they were put in jail. They put down there in jail. Maximum security kind of jail. Yeah, they're down there. And it's midnight now. They've been beaten. I just wonder if some of the other prisoners were not talking about, well, we'll see what those loud-mouthed preachers do down here. Up there preaching. We'll see how they are down here. What did they do that night in Acts chapter 16? Well, Paul and Silas, they're down there in prison. They've been beaten for preaching the gospel. And down there at midnight, you know what you find them doing? Look it in the Bible. Look it up in the Bible in Acts chapter 16. They're down there having a prayer meeting. And they're down there singing God's praises. You cannot defeat a singing Christian. God can put a song in your heart even in the darkest hour. Oh, they're down there. Where'd you learn that, Paul and Silas? We learned that from our Savior Jesus. Just before he went to the cross, he was still singing. This is the only time in the scriptures that we find Jesus singing. It's in the parallel passages. I believe Jesus sang many times. This is the one recorded place. And just before he goes to the cross, our Savior is singing. The joy that was put before him. Remember the scripture? Number one, our Savior is singing with his group of disciples. Number two, our Savior is singing with sorrow approaching. Number three, our Savior is singing godly music. Our Savior is singing godly music. Now, I'm going to read verse 26, and when I pause, I want you to say the next word, good and loud. Verse 26. Everybody look at your Bible. Now, you help me when I pause, say the word. And when they had sung an
hymn.
Oh, when they had sung an hymn. So, all right, Brother Fox, explain to us exactly. Give us the definition of a hymn 2,000 years ago. Well, I can't do that. I can't give you a full, comprehensive definition of a hymn. And I don't know anyone who with complete dogmatic authority can completely define it. However, I can tell you a few things. Number one, a hymn has always been a song associated with God. It's never been a song associated with the devil. It's never been a song associated with the world and the world system. It's always a hymn, has always been a song associated with God. Number two, A hymn has always been a song that's been associated with God's people. It's God's people that want to sing hymns. It's not the world. It's not the devil's crowd. Over there at the bars, they're not singing hymns tonight. It's over here in the church house that we want to sing hymns. By the way, don't expect revival to break out over there in the bar. And don't expect revival to break out over there in the theater. But I am expecting revival to break out here at God's house. Amen to that. Yes. Oh, they're singing godly music. A hymn is a song always that has been associated with God, and a song always associated with God's people. We find in the Bible these beautiful words, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I love it. Brother Fox, exactly which hymn was Christ singing? I don't know. I don't know, but I've got a guess. I've got a guess what it might have been. Remember, this is the Passover. They're having the Passover meal. And there is a song, there is a hymn that is traditionally sung at the Passover. Psalm 113 and Psalm 114 traditionally are sung before the Passover meal. And then Psalm 115 through 118 are traditionally sung after the Passover meal. I think it's very likely that Christ was singing those words. Psalm 113 through 118. It's called the Hallel. Psalm 118, near the end, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's very likely what Christ was singing. Our Savior, number one, He's singing with His group of disciples. Number two, our Savior is singing with sorrow approaching. Number three, our Savior is singing godly music. Well, let me give you one more thing. Look in the Bible with me, please, in verse 26. And again, when I pause, I want you to say the next word. It says in verse 26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went. Oh, I don't know, about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago now, I was working at the warehouse at Bible Truth Music. I occasionally get to work there. I was working down there in that great big old metal building with all those hymnals, and I was moving hymnals around using pallet jacks and forklifts and so forth. If this church needs at least one hymnal, we know where one is, okay? We got 13 tons of hymnals in stock right this moment. Well, this particular day down there, I was working with the hymnals, and then I'm moving this around and moving that around and moving this around. We're straightening up the warehouse, and we try to keep that organized. I looked at it the other day. It's just gorgeous. Everything in place, 99% in place. It's beautiful. Got a team of folks that just work. Well, I was down there working a couple years ago, I guess it was now, and I'm working on getting some of the music organized myself, and I was thinking on this verse. Since I was 17 years old, I've been thinking about this verse. I first noticed this verse when I was 17. And I've been thinking on it, well, a long time now. I'm 53 years old. I look older than that, I know, but let's move on, okay? Since I was 17, I've been thinking on it. And I was down in the warehouse, and at this point in the day, it was just me and the Lord down there in the warehouse. And I was moving those hymnals around. Now, I was thinking on this verse. It says in verse 26, and when they had sung in him, they went. Just before they went, they sang. Point number four, our Savior sang in preparation to go. Our Savior sings in preparation to go. Just before he went. Just before they went, they sang. I'm down in the warehouse. I'm moving those hymnals. I'd never really thought about the word went in that verse. We really ought to meditate on the Bible, shouldn't we? Went. I got thinking about that. And I got praying. I began to think about churches that I'd been in. And as I travel this country, I preach in 900 churches thereabouts now. I see some people that are going Christians. And I see some Christians that are not going. I mean, I see some able-bodied Christians. They're able-bodied, but they're really not doing much in the ministry. They're not even trying to do anything in the ministry. I see some of that. I see some people, man, they're going. I see some that are not even that able-bodied, but they're still going. Somehow they're going. I like going. Also notice this. Sometimes when you call out the song number, everybody gets a songbook. Some people don't pick up the hymnal. Let's stand and sing number 315, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. And some people do not sing. Some people, oh, they sing. Some don't. I've noticed that pretty often, those people that are singing, they're the ones that's going. And the folks that aren't going, they're not singing either. Somehow there's a connection there. I want all of us to be singing Christians. Amen. We've got something to sing about. I'll tell you, Mama, it'll make a difference in the home. Mama, it will make a difference in the home. As you clean that house and keep it looking nice, you just go ahead and sing, my faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. Just go ahead and sing. Whatever voice you have, let that house be filled with you singing to God. Dad, go ahead and become the song leader inside the car. My dad's 82 years old. And my dad, he's never been the song leader at the church, and he's never going to be. He's got a very low voice. He's kind of gravelly. He can't sing in the choir anymore. He's only got one lung left. My dad, when he got everything right with God, he was not the song leader at church. But let me tell you what happened. He became the song leader inside the car. We had a 1966 Oldsmobile Tornado. 442 horsepower. Woo! And in 1966, this was big. You pull a little knob and the headlights come up. Until they stopped working. And so Pop, he just put some screws in there. We always went around with them up, you know. My dad got it all right with the Lord. And he began leading the singing inside the car. All right, we're going to sing at Calvary. We're going to sing at the cross. We're going to sing, alas, and did my... He doesn't have a great voice. At our family party about 5 weeks ago, my dad got the guitar. He can play a little bit, and he got to singing. I said, "Ooh, that's good music. It's good to me." Amen. Hearing my dad sing for the Lord, you may not think it's great. I thought it was pretty great. Yeah. I've heard better guitar players. But it's something to hear your dad play the guitar for God. Amen to that. Dads, oh, you need to be a Christian dad. Dad, hey, Dad, you're God's spiritual deputy at the house, you know. You are to be God's spiritual deputy inside the home. And Dad, just go ahead and lay some rules down. What kind of music you are going to allow inside the home. And what kind of music you're not going to allow inside the home. Amen. Amen. Be careful with all the earphones inside of homes. There have been some young people who've listened to some music they shouldn't have listened to. Dad, just go ahead and be the leader. Amen to that. And let your light shine, Dad, for Jesus. Sing this with me.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Would you bow your heads with me, please? I've been trying to preach a message titled, Our Singing Savior.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.